Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Did you miss a part of last week's John Whitmer Show? Don't worry about it. We got you covered. We post clips from all the shows. We also post single hours, double hour, the whole show into one audio file. Lots to choose from. Just download the Always Live free Odyssey app to get started. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. My next guest, Tucker Carlson, hosted the nightly political talk show Tucker Carlson Tonight on Fox News from 2016 to 2023. Since his contract with Fox News was terminated, he has hosted Tucker on X, an advocate for former President Donald Trump. Carlson has been described as perhaps the highest profile proponent for the former president and as the most influential voice in media without a close second. With us now is Tucker Carlson. Tucker, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Well, it's an honor to be here. Thanks a lot.
Tucker, there's a whole slew of things I want to get to, but and I hadn't planned on necessarily doing current events, but gosh, this month has been like the plethora of news stories, but I've got to get to what, I mean, the news that just broke here. But let's start with the pardon of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. You know, I get that caught in my throat. And the other 9/11 masterminds. I mean, I can't wait to hear what you have to say about this bonehead decision. But what does the federal government think? And we wait, what, 26 some years to finally do anything, and then we pardon them instead of just taking them out back and putting two in the chest and one in the head for these guys?
Well, I mean, it's part of the humiliation exercise, along with, you know, making Kamala Harris the presidential candidate. It's, you know, how much will America put up with? I have to say, now's a perfect time to find out exactly what we know about 9/11. I mean, it's been 23 years. There's no justification at all for the U.S. government to continue to classify documents around 9/11. There are tons of theories about what actually happened. People don't believe the official story. Fair or not, the official story may be entirely real. But we don't know that because they're continuing to hide facts from us. And we own the government. It's our government. I mean, federal bureaucrats have absolutely no right to hide what our government is doing from us. And so I think this is a perfect time to say, you know, you say Khalid Sheikh Mohammed deserved to be let out. Okay, show us all the intel. And if you won't show it to us, why won't you? And maybe you should answer that question, or maybe you should be indicted. I mean, that's my view of it.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. And either way, why it's taken so long to get to this point, I mean, why we didn't have this adjudicated years ago is beyond me. But I mean, but I think part of this is they're afraid of what happens in November if Donald Trump wins, because then I think we do know how this would be adjudicated, and it would be quick.
Yes, that's exactly right.
The other story that, and this came from our, you know, embarrassing the Olympics that are going on in Paris, was what happened in the boxing match where you had a biological male Algerian boxer who in the first 46 seconds breaks the nose of the Italian female boxer who then, you know, had to take a knee and bow out. And it's just so tragic that this woman who spent 4 years preparing for an opportunity of a lifetime to box in the Olympics, and here she is, you know, fighting a guy who's 2 feet taller than she is, breaks her nose. And, you know, it's just so typical of what we're dealing with the demise of our culture these days, that somehow the IOC thinks this is appropriate.
Well, it's the end point of feminism, of the progressive project, which is beating women in the face. You know, you're so liberated, some man gets to smash your nose. I hope you're happy with your liberation. But bigger picture, it's an attack on the idea of God. I mean, transgenderism, the whole point of it is we're God and we're in control of nature, of biology, of human nature, and we can change it if we want, which is, of course, untrue. But it's not surprising that this happened to the same Olympics that began with an attack on Christianity, mocking Jesus. That was the opening. So, like, what's the message there? You're not being paranoid to ask that question. I mean, it was on television. They did it on purpose. What were they telling us? And they're telling us that we hate Jesus, we hate Christianity, and we think we're gods, of course. And so you shouldn't be surprised you know, anyone who thinks he's God, anyone who has the arrogance, the hubris to imagine that he's in control of the universe and in charge of biology, you know, is probably not that far from beating women in the face. I mean, what, you know what I mean? It's that there's no restraining principle for people like that. Like, they can do anything because they're God. So, I think it's as dark as it looks. It's as important as it looks. I think we're in a struggle with, you know, the ultimate stakes. I hate to use the word existential, but I think that's what it is. And it's a spiritual battle. And I think it's very, very, they've made it very obvious. By the way, I didn't think any of this 5 years ago. I had a really pedestrian understanding of the world. I thought it was all political or profit motivated, but it's not. It's much deeper than that.
Speaking of the world, I saw as I mentioned before we came on the air here, I mentioned the interview that you did, the stage interview where you took questions from the press, and I think it was in Australia. And the pushback that you got from the Australian media was absolutely hilarious. By the way, folks, I've shared this on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. But that conversation you had with the Australian press was shocking. Their press is just as bad as our press, isn't it? It was laughable the way you handled this, the media over there. But they really are just as biased as ours, aren't they?
Well, I was shocked by it. I don't know why I expected something different. Australia is a wonderful country. It's very much like the United States in its attitudes and its people. Its people are amazing. And they're oppressed and bullied by a totally out of control press corps that hates them and their country. And so in that regard, they're very much like our country. I just wasn't expecting it. I mean, they have koalas and kangaroos. I thought they might have good reporters, but they don't. And if anything, they're slightly, I would say, I say this with pride as an American, they are slightly dumber than our media. And you didn't think that was possible, but it turns out it is. You should go there and check it out.
You know, we talk about interviews, and by the way, I'm absolutely thrilled to be able to have this one. I've had the pleasure of interviewing a heck of a lot of celebrities and politicians, up including the Vice President of the United States. And I have to tell you, yours is the best one I've ever done. So,
you're so nice. Thank you. Well, I'm honored to do it.
I got to tell you, you've had a heck of a resume of folks that you've interviewed, including, you know, highly watched and quote unquote controversial interview with Russian President Vladimir Putin. And you were attacked. How dare you sit down with Vladimir Putin? You must be a traitor for talking to Putin. I don't get that. I mean, that's your job, to sit down and interview movers and shakers and world leaders. Yet you were attacked for how daring to talk with him.
Right. Well, I was attacked by politicians and media figures whose opinions I could care less about. It's dogs barking. In fact, I have a lot of dogs, and when they bark, I pay much closer attention than I do to, say, the Wall Street Journal or the Washington Post. I just don't care. But I have to say, I'm pleased. One of the really the only kind of aggressive editorial line I took in that interview. I mean, I was there to listen. I wanted to hear from Putin. I didn't want to lecture Putin, but I did lecture him about Evan Gershkovich, who was, speaking of the Wall Street Journal, the journal reporter being held in Russia on absurd charges of spying. He's a kid. He wasn't spying. You know, anyway, he was released. So I was gratified to see that, happy to see that. I'm glad. I don't like Americans in captivity, even if I don't agree with them. I don't know that I have much in common with Evan Gershkovich. We probably have very different views, but he's an American, and I don't want to see any American held in a foreign prison. So I was really happy about that.
We're talking with conservative political commentator Tucker Carlson. Another interview that you did recently was with Donald Trump Jr., and I found that interview absolutely fascinating. One of the things that the two of you touched on in the course of that interview was the way the Biden administration, and I'm sure the Harris administration, should she be elected, and God, I hope she isn't, is the way that this whole administration, and no doubt hers, is weaponizing the federal government. And you've seen it with the same thing with Steve Bannon, but they've literally weaponized it to take on their political opponents. Do you think Donald Trump will get a fair trial in any? He hasn't had one so far. Do you think he will get a fair trial in any of the other stuff that's still to come?
Well, the charges themselves aren't fair. They're ridiculous. I mean, you know, nobody who's not a threat to the establishment would ever be charged for those crimes. So the whole thing's ridiculous. I do think the system itself has been revealed as unfair and as a political weapon. And that's good news for Trump, because it's not going to affect the vote in a meaningful way, in my opinion. But it's bad news for the rest of us because we had a fair justice system. You know, it's administered by people. They made mistakes. There were flaws. But in general, it was the fairest in the world for a couple hundred years, and now it's not. And so we lose in this. And I guess my main hope, obviously I'm hoping that Trump wins strongly, but more than that, you know, I'm hoping that my grandchildren can live in a country with a fair justice system. I hope that we fix what's been broken in the past 8 years. I really do.
You've got the Tucker Carlson Network. It's the new streaming platform. It's home to exclusive, all new content from you. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's I think some of the old media platforms, including ones I've worked for, are dying. I think there are a lot of reasons for that. Some have to do with technological advances. Others have to do with just the fact that if you lie too much, no one wants to pay your cable subscription.
Yeah.
But there's a need for news and analysis. And so we're offering it independently without the control of a network in very much the same way. On your television, we've got a streaming app coming out very soon where you can just watch it on your smart TV, which is pretty much all TVs. And, you know, interviewing the people who are changing the world or trying to stop the world from being destroyed, doing it all over the world, but primarily in this country. And we're just producing a lot of material. So my job hasn't changed that much, except I'm not controlled by anybody. And I can be as honest as I can, which I try to be. And no one can say, you know, you're offending some advertiser. We don't really have we have advertisers, but this is a subscription business. And, you know, we pay our salaries from the money that people send us to watch our stuff. So it's like, it's kind of censorship proof. It's great. I mean, because that was my main concern after I got fired was, you know, how do you broadcast without being censored? It's not so easy. You know, you go on YouTube, and we are on YouTube, but you go on YouTube and, you know, they can take you down if you criticize the vaccine or drop boxes or, you know, there are all kinds of red lines on YouTube and a lot of these platforms. But if you have your own network with subscribers, you can be as honest as you can. So it's a blessing.
Tucker, I know you're coming to Wichita and to Kansas City. You'll be in Wichita. That's the Tucker Carlson Live Tour coming on September 13th with Charlie Kirk. For folks, I know we're going to give away tickets here on my show, and more information is available on the KNSS website. If folks are interested in attending, what can folks expect? I mean, if they've not seen the show, if they haven't been to a Tucker Carlson live tour, what can they expect?
Oh, live shows are the best. They're the best. I mean, especially for me. I've spent my whole life, 25 years in the studio, looking at, you know, my cameramen, who I love. I'm not, you know, they're great, telling dirty jokes and commercial breaks. But, you know, it's a little bit, you know, it's like being in a casino. There are no windows. You have no, I don't know. It's a little bit claustrophobic. So to be in front of a live audience doing a show is just thrilling for me. And it's also, you know, uncensorable. YouTube can't take your live show down.
Right.
And so we're going all across the country in September for the entire month. We're doing big venue stadiums from coast to coast and from Florida to California. And I mean, there's going to be so much going on by that, you know, next month. I mean, we're sort of at the pivot point in American history that is going to be wild, really wild. And so, yeah, we're doing full shows with a different guest, big name guest in every town. I'm really excited.
What, you know, you mentioned, and I know I've got to let you run, but you mentioned so much going on. Did you foresee this, what happened with the Democrat Party and them kicking Joe Biden off the ticket and bringing Kamala Harris on? First off, you think she'll be the nominee? And did you actually foresee this coming?
I did. Yeah, I predicted it many times, but that doesn't mean I wasn't shocked when it actually happened. I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, it's one thing to talk about something. It's another thing to see it. I also predicted many times Trump would be shot. It was obvious to me, but I was stunned and very emotional when I saw it happen. So the lesson of Joe Biden being threatened into stepping down as the candidate is that it doesn't matter who the candidate is in the Democratic Party, because it's not a Democratic Party. It's not run along the lines of democracy. It's run by unelected oligarchs standing in the shadows, the money people, and they make the decisions. It doesn't matter who you vote for. I mean, they can put Alex Jones in as the Democratic nominee and you'd still get the same policies, because it doesn't matter who their president is. You know, it's the party is what matters. It's the Soviet model. And you know, I have known a lot of people who are Democrats. I'm not, you know, I have friends who are Democrats. But that the party as it's currently constituted right now is a threat to the United States. And they seek a one-party state, and they seek totalitarian rule where you're not allowed to say what you think. And a synonym for that is treating the population like slaves, not citizens. And I'm going to do everything I can to prevent that from happening because it's terrifying. And I have a lot of children, hope to have grandchildren. And I don't want to see that. I think it really matters. I happen to like Trump, actually. I think Trump's great. One of the funniest, warmest people I've ever met. But even if I didn't like Trump, I would still say to myself, we can't have this. We can't let them turn this into a one party state where you're not allowed to say what you think. I mean, that's just not acceptable.
Yeah, it is funny. They've made it very clear that if Joe didn't step down, they were going to give him the old heave-ho, which they eventually did. And, of course, once they did, now he's a hero. Now we love Joe. How noble of him. But they were ready to shove him out of the way if he didn't do it voluntarily.
Oh, well, they threatened him with the 25th Amendment. They threatened to remove him. And, by the way, they knew, going back to 2019, that he had, you know, some sort of neurological condition that was making him senile. And I know that because his sister told someone I know. So they've known this, you know, for 5 years. And the only reason they pulled him out is because it became impossible to deny. He couldn't speak in public. By the way, he's still president. We're on the cusp of a world war.
Right. Yeah. I love seeing recently Van Jones saying we just had to take away the keys. And I'm sitting here thinking, wow, he's still got the finger on the button for 6 months. If he's not fit to run, he's not fit to serve. But they don't want to talk about that now.
No, they certainly don't.
Well,
certainly don't.
Tucker, I appreciate you again. If folks want to connect with you, they can find you at TuckerCarlson.com and on X at Tucker Carlson. The Tucker Carlson Live Tour again is coming on September 13th. Here to Wichita at the Intrust Bank Arena. We'll give away some tickets on my show. Tucker, again, thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you on the show, and carry on the fight, my friend.
I've loved it, and I'll see you in Wichita.
All right. I can check that off the bucket list right there. There we go. Check it off. I got a vice president. Check. I got Tucker Carlson. Check. One left, Donald Trump. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll take your calls and give away two tickets to see Tucker Carlson live next. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Want to remind you, you can always listen to us by downloading the Odyssey app or telling your smart speaker to play KNSS Radio. You'll find podcast links to all our previous episodes there, and make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Give us a call. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. So Tucker Carlson and Charlie Kirk are coming to Intrust Bank Arena here in Wichita on Friday, September 13th at 7 o'clock. We're going to give away two tickets. And so here's the question for you. On July 2nd, 1776, the Continental Congress agreed to break away from the British. On July 4th, the Congress formally adopted the Declaration of Independence. But when did the majority of convention delegates sign the Declaration of Independence? The first caller with the right answer will win two tickets to Tucker Carlson Live. And look at that, they're already calling in. So that's the question. When did the majority of convention delegates sign the Declaration of Independence? Another event coming up I want to give you a heads up on. Riley Gaines is coming to Wichita. She is being brought to town by the good folks at Kansas Family Voice. They've got an event called Celebrating Leadership and Courage, an evening with Riley Gaines. She's coming to Wichita on September 10th. Wow, September's going to be an absolutely fantastic month for events. This is September 10th from 7 to 9 at the Doubletree by Hilton. We're actually going to have Riley on the show here to talk about this event, and I'm sure we'll talk about the biological male bashing the face in on a poor contestant at the Olympics. We're going to have Riley back on the show. It's been a while since I've had her on the show. I absolutely love Riley. Cannot wait to have her back on the show. But the folks at Kansas Family Voice are bringing Riley Gaines to Wichita on September 10th from 7 to 9 at the DoubleTree by Hilton. If you're interested, you can find out more information at kansasfamilyvoice.com/events. And again, that's an evening with Riley Gaines coming up on September 10th. And, of course, the event with Tucker Carlson and Charlie Kirk at Intrust Bank Arena is September 13th. So you got a great couple of events lined up back to back. It's going to be awesome. I cannot wait. It's going to be a great September. Do we have a winner? Looks like we are still. Wow, there are a lot of people who are getting close on this question. You know, I couldn't just give them away. I had to put a trivia question out there.
That is correct.
Oh, we got a winner. Yes, I do believe we have a winner. Somebody finally got the answer. So the first caller with the right answer just won two tickets to Tucker Carlson Live. And I want to make sure that before I give away the answer, I want to make sure that we... Phil, did we get the right answer? Phil, did we get the right answer? We did. Okay, so the declaration wasn't actually signed by most delegates until August 2nd, 1776. So that was the right answer. We have a winner. That's fantastic. Thank you for... Boy, the phone lines lit up. May have a chance to have some more tickets for this event. But they may not be available here on this show. I do know that there's a chance of someone else. Congratulations to Gary Tripp from Clearwater. That's my old house district. In fact, I think I know Gary Tripp from Clearwater. No, trust me, just because he's a constituent or a former constituent had nothing to do with it. Said congratulations to Gary in Clearwater. You've just won two tickets to see Tucker Carlson live. And Phil will get all that information to you. But congratulations. That was a blast. Love having that conversation with Tucker. He is an absolute superstar, and that's going to be a fantastic event coming up on September 13th at Intrust Bank Arena. We're going to have, by the way, to let you know, his cohort at that event on September 13th is Charlie Kirk. We're going to have Charlie Kirk on the show as well here very soon. We took us a while to get Tucker on the show. We're still negotiating to get Charlie Kirk on the show, but we're going to try and do that as well. We'll have Charlie Kirk on the show soon too, so that we can get both of them. We'll have both Charlie Kirk and Tucker Carlson on the show as soon as we can. And we're going to take a quick break, and then Numbers USA CEO James Massa will join us to explore failed border czar Kamala Harris's record on immigration. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Congratulations again to Gary Tripp from Clearwater. Just won the two tickets to see Tucker Carlson live. This segment of the John Whitmer Show sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. You can join them AFP and phone into key federal races across the country. Every week presents a new opportunity for you to join thousands of dedicated citizens committed to being the most impactful grassroots army in America. Join AFP every Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. Central to phone for freedom. It's a great way to get involved, folks. You really should give it a try. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. It's easy. They give you the script. Come on. Great way to get involved, and it's simple. Trust me, give it a try. Sign up today. And while you're at it, don't forget to follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and find and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get the latest updates on the show. In discussing how a President Harris will deal with illegal immigrants, Senator Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, said recently that, quote, "I believe we need to create a pathway to citizenship." And she continued that all of that is part of what we need to do for comprehensive immigration reform. And Kamala Harris will work with Congress to get that done. But don't take Elizabeth Warren's word for it. Here's what Kaklan Kamala said about illegal aliens back in 2020.
It is wrong to somehow suggest that an undocumented immigrant is a criminal. I've personally prosecuted everything from low-level offenses to homicides. I know what a crime looks like. An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
See, now I thought the whole idea, you enter someplace illegally without permission, that's kind of the definition of a crime, but what do I know? With us now to discuss Harris's dangerous plans for the U.S. southern border is Numbers USA CEO James Massa. James, thank you for joining us this evening, my friend.
Hey, good to be here.
All right, let's start with that little clip there. Am I wrong? But I seem to think if you enter someplace without permission, that kind of constitutes a crime. I could be wrong.
You know, you're so correct. People just seem to want to ignore the fact that you're supposed to have permission to come into our country. And that when you're here, if you want to have a job, you're supposed to have a permit to be able to have work here.
That's the theory.
Work authorization. And those are just very simple things. It's the law. It's not like an idea. It's not like a concept. It's not like something under debate. It is the current law. It has been since the 1980s.
You know, and we're not, you and I clearly are on the right side of this issue, both ideologically and, I don't know, legally. But even Democrats kind of sometimes, if they're forced to, especially if they're in, you know, battleground states, will admit this. Just last week, six Democrats joined Republicans in condemning Harris's handling of the border. Of course, meanwhile, the press are now claiming Harris was never the border czar. So let's see if we can clear that one up. Was she the border czar or wasn't she, James?
Well, it seems to me that everyone who looks at what she was tasked to do, which was to address the issue of illegal immigration coming across our southern border, is she would be the border czar. But you notice not getting hung up on words. Let's not even worry about whether she was the border czar or not. Her goal was to be able to somehow impact Central America so that it would be a place that people want to stay.
Right.
And that clearly hasn't occurred. We've had this overwhelming surge into the United States with millions of people coming in over the last 3.5 years, and it's been an unprecedented surge, which to me equates to an enormous failure, regardless of whether we call her the czar or call her the person looking for root causes. But what she was tasked to do, she failed at doing.
Exactly. Well, and that leads to my next point, which is she scored an F minus, like that's any lower that you can go on your immigration scorecard. How exactly, what do you have to do to get an F minus on that score, James?
Well, you know, we score everybody. We scored President Biden when he was in Congress. We score Senator Vance. We score everyone who's actually served as a congressperson, either in the House or the Senate. And we look at them based on whether they are really adding to the number or detracting from the number. She has voted for 9 different amnesties. She has voted the double guest workers for visas for blue-collar jobs. She's voted to have unlimited visas for foreign workers that have, like, master's degrees. So in the high-end STEM workers, the high-tech jobs, she wants unlimited workers coming in taking U.S. jobs. She's voted for legislation to nullify the cap on how many refugees we actually can admit. So she has consistently and consistently and consistently voted to rip open the border and to have an open state. And she stated very clearly, this is not a vote, but she stated very clearly that she wants to abolish what we call ICE today. I mean,
right.
ICE is intended to be the internal enforcement, and she wants them to only enforce those people who have already committed extremely serious crimes in our nation.
We're talking with Numbers USA CEO James Massa. Let's talk a little bit about her policy stances on this issue. During her first presidential bid, Harris raised her hand during a Democrat primary debate, rather, when moderators asked the candidates if their government health care plans would cover undocumented immigrants. We both all know that's, you know, illegal aliens, but, you know, that's something. But would it cover undocumented immigrants? And Harris raised her hands, said that it would. So taxpayer-funded health care. She's also talked about everything, like you said, abolishing ICE. She's talked about multiple instances where she has taken stands that are anti-closed border, that are all about open borders. So what exactly would America's border look like under a Harris administration?
Well, she would continue to perpetrate on the United States the opening of the borders to allow anybody who wants to come in the United States to be able to come in. And I say anybody because there isn't a real clear limit on who she would keep out. I mean, she has indicated she would like to be able to have an amnesty for over 11 million people who are here with illegal presence. She's indicated she doesn't want to have any enforcement for people who come in afterwards. She's indicated that she wants to open up the border to all the different things that I described earlier. So it seems to me that what she is saying is that she would completely open the front door of the United States to anybody who wants to come in. And I will say the vast majority of those people are people who are seeking economic gain. But there are a lot of people who are coming across who are terrorists. There are a lot of people who are coming across who are criminals. There are a lot of people who are coming across who we wouldn't want in my neighborhood, in my home, in my backyard. So, I mean, it's the same for American people, and they're seeing it everywhere. That's why these six Democrats in Texas, Alaska, and Washington, and Maine, and North Carolina, and Colorado, that's why they're saying she's done a terrible job.
Well, and even if they are just coming here for economic gain, which you can't necessarily blame them for, but it doesn't matter. Just because that's why you're coming, you still should come here legally. James, I appreciate you joining us this evening. If folks want to reach out, if they want, you guys have a wealth of data available on your website. If folks want access to that or read some of the articles that you have, they can find that at numbersusa.com, correct?
That's correct, and there's an app they can download that we call an action board. It's much like the sponsor you had who sponsored this segment, who allows you to take action and contact your members of Congress on immigration-related issues. So there's a lot of ways people can be informed and be active.
Brother, I appreciate you. Thank you again, my friend.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
We'll take a quick break. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. And from breaking news to severe weather updates, KNSS is always here for you. Let's do our best to keep it that way, all right? Keep AM radio in vehicles now. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. It's time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
You had your chance. Yes, a chance to elect capable individuals as governor and lieutenant governor, state senators, and reps. Some folded their tails between their legs. 10 counties decided for the other 95 Kansans' future, or lack thereof. Let's review. Governor Kelly vetoed 75 tax cuts. The latest opportunity to provide what Kansans deserve cost taxpayers $84,000 in a special session. Result? Failure once again. A watered-down tax plan. If your electeds can't balance their own checkbooks, how do we expect them to calculate a real tax cut? Topeka is no different than D.C. Stop electing the same individuals that are nothing but talking heads on a good day. The people's checkbook? Your checkbook? Has a $4 billion reserve balance. Let's clean out the rhinos and any others that voted against our future. The electeds couldn't override the governor's veto. They don't seem to support the people of Kansas. It is our duty to make corrections at the ballot box as soon as possible.
Want to remind you to make sure you get out. Wink's right. And your best chance, your first chance to do something about that is coming up on Tuesday. Make sure you get out and vote with us now to just kind of do a last minute push. Make sure if you're sitting and thinking about it, is Sedgwick County Republican Party Chairwoman Deb Lucia. Deb, thank you for joining us. Thank you for calling. And it's so important, folks, get out and vote.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, John. You know, Sedgwick, it's up to us to make a difference.
Yep.
And if we don't vote, we can't sit back and say, oh, I don't like the way things are going. It's our opportunity, and it's actually our duty
yep.
to get out and vote.
No, I used to say if you don't vote, you can't bitch. But now it's just like if you don't vote, then you got nobody to blame for the results.
Correct. We have more Republicans in Sedgwick County than we do Democrats or independents. If Republicans get out and vote, we can get conservatives elected and keep Kansas red. You know, the Democrats are working extremely hard to change Kansas into Colorado. And Colorado used to be a red state. The Democrats are pouring money into this state. Kansas is one of the states picked nationally that they were going to work very hard to turn into a Democratic state. They've already got Johnson County, pretty much, you know, they worked hard 8 years ago to turn Johnson County around. Their efforts paid off, and now they're working in Wichita and Sedgwick County to turn us. And if Wichita goes, the whole state goes.
Yeah, they're definitely trying to turn Sedgwick County into another Johnson County. And this is, you know, I always used to like to say this is sort of the buckle of the Bible Belt for the state, and we need to keep it that way. And part of that, you know, I mean, none of us like these contentious primaries, but it's a healthy, you know, we have their debate. But one of the things that we have to then do is on Wednesday, it is, and we've had, you know, we've got a good primary going on in a county commission race. One of the state senate races down here has got, you know, had some punches thrown. We've got a couple of house races that have got primaries. But boy, on Wednesday, we sure need to unite behind whomever emerges as our Republican candidates, don't we?
That's absolutely right. We have to work together, and if we have to stay strong, we have solid Republicans running.
Yes.
And, you know, pick your favorite Republican that you want to win. But come Wednesday after the election, we have to get behind the candidates that won the races and get out there and help them. Help them win. And the Democrats, like I said, they're pouring money. Governor Kelly has close to $1 million that she's going to be spending on these races. She's pledged that. And she's got a couple of candidates in Sedgwick County that they are working so hard to persuade the voters that the solid conservatives we have are something else, that they're not good people, that they're not good representatives. And that's absolutely false and untrue. Our representatives that we currently have and the ones that are running, we have good people, and they will do very good things for Sedgwick County.
Yeah, and, you know, that's one of the reasons why Laura Kelly is in office, is because once we had our candidate into the general, we didn't unify and support. And it's one of the things that that Democrats do a better job of than Republicans in this state, at least, and even at the presidential level, is we don't unite behind our candidate. One of the goals then, and we're talking with Sedgwick County Republican Party Chairperson Deb Lucia, one of your goals then is this Republican Party evening with the right governors, the fundraiser. It's a get-out-the-vote fundraiser coming up on August 9th at the Cozine Center with former governors Brownback and Collier. And folks need to know all the money that's raised from this event is going towards advanced ballot chase and get-out-the-vote efforts for general election candidates in Sedgwick County. It's not going to be individual candidates. It's everybody on the ballot. And it's really designed to help bring us all across the tape at the end of in November, correct?
Correct. What the Democrats do better than us is they unite behind their candidates.
Yep.
And they work together. We have been working as individual candidates, have been spending time and money to contact voters. But we need to, you know, we have multiple candidates that will be, that should be targeting the same voters. And we're wasting our efforts by having each of them do it instead of in Sedgwick County. We're going to combine everything. We're going to make sure that all of these potential voters, the voters that haven't voted in the last couple of years or typically don't vote, that we contact them, that we get to them, and we get them to the polls. And so that's the purpose of the Get Out the Vote. And the Democrats are a machine at this. They've got it down to a science. And we're going to do that in Sedgwick County.
It's what we need to do.
Yep, we've got this fundraiser coming up. We obviously need money to do that. There is some technology involved in doing this, and we've got to get the funds for that. And then we're going to be putting together, our plan is going to be a cohesive plan, and it's going to be a machine, and we're going to work it like a machine, like the Democrats do.
I know I've shared information on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, but if folks want information about the fundraiser, about your picnic coming up in September, or anything else, where to vote, what their polling place are, where's the best place for them to go?
The best place for them to go, we will have some things on our website. Our website has been sort of targeted, I think, by the Democrats for some different reasons. The best thing to do is to send me an email to SCRP Chairman, and that stands for Sedgwick County Republican Party Chairman, SCRPChairman@gmail.com. And I'll get all the information to you.
Fantastic. And again, that event is coming up August 9th. That's next Friday night at the Cosine Center. I'll be there. I look forward to seeing you, Deb. Thank you again. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you. And we look forward to seeing you there, too. Thank you.
You're very welcome. In the meantime, folks, have a great week. Carry on, fellow deplorables.